Welcome to the Golf Industry Uncut. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Exclusively on THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. Now, here's your host, JB.
That intro means it's time for another episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Each episode of Uncut will feature one of the great insiders from the golf industry, and they'll be placed in the hot seat to discuss equipment, technology, and the entire golf industry landscape. This week, we welcome Brett from Encore Golf to the show. We're here to talk about golf balls, small brands, and more. Brett, are you ready to step into the hot seat?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
THP Radio is your new twist on on-demand audio in the world of golf. And Uncut is your complete access to the equipment world that you're craving the info on. The way the show works is easy. Once the record button is pressed, there's no editing done until the show ends, so you hear it all. Our rule is a simple one. Each guest must be accessible after the show, anytime after the show. So, Brett, can you tell the listeners how they can find Encore on Twitter?
Sure. At Twitter, it's at Encore Golf, O-N-C-O-R-E-G-O-L-F. And that's actually all of our handles, Facebook, Instagram as well.
And you guys do a lot in social media, and they can find you throughout, correct?
Yeah, no, we're all over that thing. So when we love talking to our fans, our customers, people have questions, so we're on there pretty often.
Sounds good. We're going to jump right into this. Golf balls sound like a unique start in golf. Now, you know, everybody knows there's big brands, there's small brands. Where did the idea come from for you to get into the golf ball world?
It really started from not having anything to do with golf in particular. The initial kind of drive and hunger was I always wanted to follow in my father's footsteps, which was to kind of have my own company. I've always been very creatively driven, always been a big idea guy and big vision guy, and you know, was working for some international firms in New York City, and I met Steve, who became a good friend and the co-founder as well. And really, we just saw, you know, this as an opportunity for us to not only put things that we were passionate about, which is sport. For me, it's advertising and marketing, sports, and golf as well. But this is a great opportunity for us to do something that is extremely difficult. You know, the ball industry is probably one of the hardest industries to penetrate because it's dominated by just a few. But we look at that challenge not as a challenge, but really as a fun opportunity to constantly make history.
Encore has the unenviable task of trying to both battle and coexist with companies that have large R&D teams, large marketing budgets. What can small companies, not necessarily Encore, do to make a splash and stand out? And do I get the feeling this is your blue ocean strategy? Because yes, I've read the book, and yes, I did my research.
You are spot on. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, going back to my previous answer, even really about how we don't look at it as a challenge, even though it is a challenge, but we look at this as an opportunity to change the game and change the way the game is viewed by creating a different kind of messaging and a different kind of mission, taking a polar opposite of, approach. And I think anyone trying to start their own company or break into an industry or get into the golf ball business, you know, you can do it one of two ways. You can either look at the history of tried and true proven methods that have gotten some of those big companies that we know to success, or you can do the high risk, high yield. And that's kind of our thing. We wanted to not use an approach that has been tried and tested before, and felt like we needed not only to break into the industry with a product that had been never before seen and was high performance and all that, but we wanted the brand to mirror that, and the approach and just kind of the ideology behind our company to be something that would resonate more with the you know, the internal drive of people, and not be a company that's just so focused on pushing out why our product is the best. I mean, we know we have great golf balls, but we want people to understand the team behind it and what we're trying to promote. And we think it's, you know, the diversity and being an inclusive type of company is something that golf can really benefit from.
Spawning off that topic, in today's world, social media can, I'll say move the needle, but we all know move the needle to an extent where nobody's going to pick up 50% of the ball market share based on social media. And to be frank, like you said before, I'm not sure that's necessary or even a goal or anything. Do you find that the fans and your consumers and your players are driven because you're so accessible?
I think that is an absolutely huge component to why we've been successful. We have never, said, hey, we need to be successful, we need to capture 25% of the market share, 15. I mean, none of that. For one, that takes a long time to build that kind of, brand reputation. And as you know, I mean, these companies are paying hundreds of millions of dollars to get PGA people to play their products and their equipment. And for us, we just felt like we could be a company that is able to pivot quickly, that is able to provide an unprecedented level of customer service, not only to the people, buying our products and our apparel and our golf balls, but also just being able to have a discussion. That's part of what we enjoy. We feel extremely lucky. A lot of things have gone right and a lot of things have gone wrong in the journey of having a startup. But we've always wanted to create a cult-like following, if you will. I know that could have a negative connotation, but we felt that we could build an audience, right, that was a cult-like following that was a massive cult, though. We want it to be a big cult. We invite everybody to join this. But just as easily as we could be working for somebody else, we feel like we want to share the journey and the ups and downs and be completely transparent with anybody that takes time out of their day to research us, to buy our products, to hit the like button on social media. I mean, it just means the world, and it's the only way that a company like us can succeed. So we take great pride in really trying to, no matter how big we get, always maintaining that family feel and that accessibility that you talk about.
Now, one of the things, again, spawning off that last question of accessibility that we mentioned on our last show that Dean and I did, which was sponsored by you guys, so we appreciate that. But one of the things we mentioned is when people reach out on social media, they're not getting some person in an office that does social media. They're getting you guys.
Absolutely. Yep. And when we get emails to info@EncoreGolf.com, or we get a customer review or a customer complaint or whatever it may be, it's not anybody else responding to you. It is Steve or myself. We literally start our day by making sure we respond to every single person that's written in. Same thing with the social media. And that really started because that's the nature of a startup. You're wearing every hat. But that's the most fun part of our job too. Right. It's the most fun part. Being able to get real time, feedback and have conversations and create a dialogue. And the other part of it for us that's so important is we don't have all the answers in the world. The last thing we want to do is be a company that creates products and then tries to convince you why you should have them. We want, and you'll actually be seeing a lot of this in the coming months and all that, because we're trying to create an atmosphere where we're working in tandem with the audience and the people that we're trying to reach. And we're asking them, what do they want to see in golf balls? What kind of messaging is important to them? I mean, we have the overarching message and really want to be a company that doesn't sell products, but is a source of inspiration and hope and drive. We want to be the company that represents the reason you get up at 5 a.m. to go work out when everybody else is still sleeping, to be on that grind and to kind of go out and get yours. And I think by having a conversation and dialogue nonstop with the people that are taking the time out to show you some attention really goes a long way. And if you can have a great product and you can have customers that'll buy it over and over again, but if you have a great company and you have a great team and you have a great attitude about it and you create that kind of environment, they're going to be customers and fans and part of Team Encore for life, because it means much more than a good golf ball or a cool hat.
not everything is rosy in the world of golf marketing and industry, and our readers and listeners know that well. Now, a year or two ago, we saw a bunch of influx of golf ball companies hit the market, most with horrible marketing and subpar products, but that's neither here nor there. Most of them are now gone due to a myriad of things, such as trademark, lawsuits, whatever it is, but Encore wasn't part of that. What do you think made so many at the time come and say, I'm getting into the golf ball business? It was like six of them happened overnight.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure if it was, you know, it could be a lot of things where part of the thing that we saw was just such a lack of innovation, you know, in the golf ball space. There have been 30 years of the same over and over again, you know, just variations of solid rubber. And I think there are a lot of companies were seeing kind of the decline in the sport and thinking that maybe they could make a difference in it. And a lot of companies do that in tons of industries. You see some of the biggest innovations in whatever industry, they usually come from the smaller companies because they are scratching and clawing to get a name out there and to make a difference. And they know they need to stand out. And I applaud every single one of those companies for, you know, putting their hat in the ring and giving a go at it. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, due to some of the way the industry works, it seems like they were kind of pushed out, pushed out of the business, maybe some fairly and some maybe not so fairly.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I think it's important for, you know, companies to continue to do so. And, you know, it's not that I want to invite more competition, but to be honest, the more competition and the more innovation that gets through and permeates that layer of, you know, stifling innovation, I think the better for the game. And I think, you know, it's exciting for us and to see what kind of other ideas come other companies can come up with. And it will certainly inspire us to continue and push us to further drive our company into the realms of the unknown, which has really been a catapult for success for us thus far.
To reiterate, you guys were not involved in that in any way whatsoever. You guys had a different product. I never saw Encore mentioned in any way, and you guys have continued to thrive since then.
Yeah, we, you know, the hollow metal core technology we have patented and was completely ours, and there was nothing for us to worry about as far as, you know, getting sued for infringement or anything like that. The other part of it is getting that ruling. When we were able to get the hollow metal core technology approved and conforming, USGA conforming, that was historic within the industry. That was only the second time in 100 years that the rules had been changed to allow a new technology in, such as ours. And we were the, you know, the catalyst for that. And I think that really kind of was something that none of the big companies thought would happen. You know, I think everybody had been so fine and just okay with solid rubber core technology because no other company had been able to change the design parameters surrounding golf ball construction until we did. And that was kind of the point where we went from a really cool idea in golf ball to, okay, well, now we have a viable business and we are officially in the golf ball industry. And since then, it has been rapid growth. We've got two of the best golf ball designers and engineers. In fact, guys that built all of the best golf balls that people have been playing for decades, including the Pro V. You know, we have the master chefs, if you will, of the golf ball industry now building all our golf balls exclusively, which is really exciting.
Before we continue, I want to remind everybody that they can discuss these topics and all the topics on the THP forum with thousands of golfers every single day. And of course, you can follow, discuss, debate, and interact on social media at THP Golf and at Encore Golf. And if you include the hashtag THP Radio, we can include future questions on the show if Brett decides to come back on. Let's talk products. You guys have two golf balls. THPers have tested them. They're both pretty darn unique in both materials and application. Some people love them, some people don't, but people tried them, and that was the most important thing for us. Can you talk a little bit about the two balls and what makes them different?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thank you so much for letting us do this, you know, the testing thread
Happy
with
to.
You guys. It's been
Anytime.
A lot of fun. Yeah, it's been awesome because, you know, we get requests every single day. Can I try a sleeve? Can I do this? Can I do that? And of course, we want to give away as much as we can, but we're also a business. And
right, that leads
to
bankruptcy.
We have to make sure that we can pay the bills. So this has been a great experience for us, just getting all the feedback and all that. The two golf balls that we have, so actually, let me just rewind a little bit. So I told you we got two of the best, you know, golf ball engineers on the planet to come on board about 2 years ago, maybe a little bit less. And that was when our hollow metal core ball was called the MA 1.0 Maximum Accuracy Series 1. At that point, we had about a 90 to 95 compression golf ball, did have about a 5 to 7 yard distance penalty. And just truthfully, I mean, the hollow metal core technology was never meant for the really good players. You know, that ball was introduced first because it was extremely different, but B, we felt like this was such a good ball for people that are learning the sport, that maybe just are weekend warriors and just want to have a little bit more fun because they can keep it in the fairway. They need a little bit of forgiveness. Even that being said, even though there's a 20-30% tighter shot dispersion with the MA 1.0, we still knew it could be improved. So once we got that conforming ruling, we were able to get these two designers, and they instantly started working on, you know, the next golf ball for us. And we told them what we wanted them to create was a suite of golf balls that spoke to every player skill level, every preference, you know, for every kind of golfer, that we didn't want to just have a accuracy ball for guys and women with 100 swing speed and under. We wanted balls for really good players, for guys that like the really soft compression. So that next one was the Avant, and they spent the entire year developing the two-piece golf ball, which is the Avant, which is a 65 compression, literally one of the longest balls on the market. We have yet to test one that's longer than it. What they did is they created a brand new formula or blend of polymer that they called Soft Cell. And I don't think even they knew how good the ball was going to perform when they were developing it. They knew it was going to be extremely soft and they knew it would be long. But I just remember the discussions going through the ball development phase. And every time they do their next batch of testing, you know, they were saying, I can't believe how good this thing is. You know, this is just unbelievable. And the Vaughn ended up having over 11,000 RPM off the wedge and less than 2,500 off the driver, which is better than like 99% of the tour balls. And it's also going about 7 yards longer. So when we saw how well that new formulation for the core reacted and performed, they said, you know what, we think we can make the MA 1.0 a lot better by putting this new blend of polymer around the hollow metal core technology. And it did. It actually dropped the compression down to an 80, added about 5 yards of distance, more favorable spin rates. And now we've got those two golf balls. You know, one is the most accurate ball in golf, and the other is probably the longest ball in golf. Two different types of players, but the response to the Avant, I will say, has probably been about 99.9%. Holy cow, I'm getting rid of my my previous ball, and most of them that they were playing before was a tour ball. In fact, a lot of our professional golfers are using the Avant right now, and we have our third ball, which is our official tour ball, coming out and will be launched this January at the PGA show, which we're just ecstatic about. We can't wait to have, you know, that suite of three golf balls, all for different players, all high performance, and all at a very affordable price. That's part of our methodology as far as growing the game. Make a price point accessible for the next generation of golfers.
Now, you kind of stole my thunder there with the final question here. Most of our reader base plays a premium ball. Not all, but most. And that's because, you know, we're the diehard golfer. That's what they're used to. Now, there are rumors flying around, and you kind of just killed that rumor, that you guys do have a tour ball coming in 2017. Can you tell us a little more about it? We don't need the 12-course meal, maybe an appetizer. You know, at the PGA show, it's going to be fun. We'll come down there. We'll interview you guys with the new product and stuff like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have all the details, so I couldn't give you a full course meal yet anyway. We're probably about a month away from getting as close to the final samples, we think, as possible. Of course, the testing will let us know if we are done, because we expect it to be the best ball that exists. So if it's not, they're going to go back to the drawing board. But one of the things that the Caliber and the Avant don't have is a urethane cover. They have a nylon Sirlin cover, which is a softer version of the Sirlin. The urethane, for one, obviously is going to create that tour quality feel, that stick on the really short wedges. It's going to create a tremendous amount of bite. And they are actually been kind of working on, they started with the same type of core that they did for the Avant. And from what they've been telling us, they've been adding some, spices and some salts and peppers into there, that are creating a tremendous, coefficient of restitution, incredible distance, high velocity off the tee, and will also feature a proprietary dimple pattern, which is extremely, exciting and important for it to truly be a game changer of a golf ball for a tour quality level.
Another food reference. I think people are going to start thinking they can taste these.
I know, it's making me hungry. I just got to shut up and eat.
There you have it, guys. It's time for Fire Away. 10 topics. First thing that comes to his mind, nothing to do with golf. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm as ready as I'll ever be. We'll see.
What's the best sandwich and from where?
Turkey, bacon, avocado, from Gabriel's Gate in Buffalo, New York.
You're an upstate New York guy, and I'm assuming a Bills fan. Am I correct in that?
I basically born with a jersey. Yeah, I know it's tough, but
okay.
15 years, no playoffs.
Recent Tyrod Taylor robbery, signing. What did you think?
I was ecstatic because my good friend's from Baltimore, and when he heard about it, I had never heard of Tyrod Taylor, and he said, I can't believe you guys just got Tyrod Taylor. The only reason this guy hasn't played is because of Flacco. He said, this guy is a beast. So, of course, I went on YouTube and found everything I could of him, and I was just over the moon excited, and I thought he was tremendous last year. He 23 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, I believe, as a rookie who had never played a full game in the NFL. And for one, what I'm hearing at Bills camp right now is he looks darn near elite.
That's a scary thought sounding. You're sounding more and more like a fan. Let's talk burgers. You're going to make and name your masterpiece. We'll call it the Encore Burger. What are the toppings?
Oh, man. That's a bad question for me because on my burger, I'm pretty simple. I like bacon. I like a little chipotle mayo. We'll add some grilled or sauteed onions. I don't like them dry or cold. I like them when they kind of caramelize. We could throw some avocado on there. And I think that's about it. I know that's a burger that exists, but I'm pretty standard when it comes to my burgers.
Two things with avocado. Next thing you're going to say is we're moving to California. Okay.
Yep.
Everybody wants to know, since you're in Buffalo, who's got the best wings?
Okay.
Don't say Anchor Bar.
No, it's not. It's not. I had mentioned Gabriel's Gate before. It's actually one of the older restaurants in Buffalo. It's in a very eclectic part of town, the Art District. In Allentown, they have, first of all, there's a ton of meat on these wings. These are really big, meaty wings. But if you have big, meaty wings, you never want them to be soggy. So that's two things. One, you can't overdo it with the sauce, or else they do get kind of soaked and soggy. And you also have to make sure they're done crispy. And every single time I've gone there, they have been crispy. I took actually one of our pro golfers who was in from Orlando, and it was also a finalist on MasterChef. His name's Francis Biondi, came here and he said, I got to try wings. So I took him to Gabriel's Gate. He did not believe me that there was going to be any big difference from the wings he's had in Orlando to the wings that were in Buffalo. And he basically went shut up for 3 days about how good they were. So Gabriel's Gate will be my choice for Buffalo, New York.
Best travel city for food outside of your home state?
Does it have to be in the States?
No, you could choose any place you'd like.
I'm going to go with Barcelona, only because when I went there, I've only been there once in my life, and it was unbelievable, but the food was just so authentic and different, and it was just perfect. There's probably a lot of, association just with how fun the time was there, but I love that food. I could eat that all day. It was the paella, just to die for.
Last movie seen in the theaters.
Secret Life of Pets. Took my dog. Yep.
Nice.
She's the life of pets. So, yeah. Hey, I love movies. I love all movies. I saw X-Men, but I actually didn't see it in the theaters. But Secret Life of Pets, after I got a dog, I was like, I cannot wait to see this movie. It looks hysterical. So that was pretty good. Went to the drive-in for that one.
Best ethnic food, which you may have already answered, and what do you order?
I think we're going to have to just stick, because my kind of gut reaction was the food in Barcelona and the paella. I think we're going to go with that because I love rice kind of plates and all that kind of stuff, but I do love the seafood, and the best thing about the paella is that you get a mix of kind of the best of all worlds. You get a little bit of pasta, you get a little bit of, you know, rice, you get all the different kinds of seafood. We'll go with that.
When I think of seafood, I think of Buffalo, New York, no question.
Favorite
really? TV show currently on, not including golf?
Favorite TV show? Well, I just finished Stranger Things on Netflix, which was amazing. It's like a mix of Goonies, Super 8, E.T., X-Files. I mean, that's probably my most recent favorite show, but I'm a big Walking Dead guy, and right now I'm actually, the season's not over, but there's a show on HBO called The Night Of. You want to feel guilty without even doing something, watch that. It's pretty intense.
So we might have to check that one out. Favorite, or excuse me, what are acceptable toppings on a hot dog?
Oh, man, asking the wrong guy for that. For me, the only thing I put on my hot dog is ketchup. Sometimes, you know, a little nacho cheese and ketchup. I'm not a pickle or a relish guy. I don't like onions on my hot dog, so mine would be pretty simple.
This is a heated debate on THP. They say, some people say it can be mustard only. I'm with you. I think ketchup's acceptable.
Yeah, I can't do mustard. For me, I've never been a mustard guy. I'm all about the ketchup.
Finally, your college mascot is the Golden Griffin.
Yep.
Everybody knows that that's a ridiculous mascot. If you could change it to anything and you had the power to do so, which way are you going?
Man, these are tough. First thing that comes to my head as far as a mascot instead of the Golden Griffin. Oh, man, that is tough. I mean, you could always, just because it is in Buffalo, you could do another type of Buffalo logo, but I feel like that's going to get overplayed. And, you know, the Bills already own that. The Sabres have already owned that.
But all those teams are terrible.
I know. I can't change it. I can't change it because that's all I've known Canisius College as. I'd really have to put longer thought.
Can you tell our listeners what exactly a Golden Griffin is?
I can't. All I can tell you is what it looks like on a jersey, but it's a bird. It's a bird, and I'm pretty sure it's made of gold. That's about all the details on the mascot. You know, I haven't even thought about that mascot since I was in college, so thanks for bringing that back.
I'm happy to help. There you have it, gang. We want to thank Brett for coming on the show and talking to us. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise or any other place where you download your podcasts. We want to thank Brett. You can find him on Core Golf. That's the same name across all the social media platforms, as he said. So for myself and, of course, Brett, we hope you enjoyed this new episode of the Golf Industry Uncut. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.